Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Well, it's raining today. We're having a wonderful rainstorm today here in Clearwater, Florida. It's only 72 degrees, which means it's getting cooler. It's not 90, and it's so nice. I'm so happy that we're getting cooler weather now. It's getting to be fall. And today we're going to be talking about organic, again with my guest Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. And we've been doing a series about different aspects of what it means to what organic means, about organic certification, about how the products, different things about organic products, how organic agricultural products are turned into products, et cetera, et cetera. So today we're going to be talking about more about organic, about the politics of organic, and about the regulation of marketplace distribution. Hi, Diana. Are you Bear and James too?
Yes, ma'am.
We are.
Both of you. Good, good.
Afternoon.
I wasn't sure if James was there or we just had Diana today. I'm so happy both of you are here today with me. And so why don't you just give us a brief introduction about who you are and why you're interested in organics, how you got interested in this, just briefly, because I know that we've talked about this before. But for our listeners who haven't heard you before, give us a brief introduction, and then we'll get into our discussion for today.
Sure. Jim, do you want to handle it?
No, go ahead, Diana.
Okay.
Keep it short, though.
Keep it short, yeah.
I know, I do tend to ramble. Our journey into the world of organic personal care products occurred because we had been dealing with me having a surprise visit with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then it was very urgent, and we didn't have a lot of choices or time to make choices, and I ended up doing chemotherapy. The chemotherapy was very, very strong. And it really kind of made a mess of my immune system, made me extremely reactive, and it was baffling to us why this would happen, why I was reacting to everything. That led us down the path, with the help of Deborah's book, to find out that, you know, I was reacting. My immune system had gotten so out of whack from double-dose chemotherapy, it was an experiment, that I became very, very sensitized to things in my environment. So we began, as Deborah, I'm sure you're familiar, doing the whole weeding out of your life, examining every single thing that you come into contact with, and one thing led to another, and we were able to get our house pretty much cleaned out with your help, thanks. And we worked on our diets. We had done vegetarianism for a number of years. The remaining problem was caring for our bodies. When we were looking at products in health food stores, they said all natural, and yet we were seeing all these chemicals, and we began this really long journey into learning all about cosmetic formulation, looking at patents in the Patent and Trademark Office at the Library of Congress on microfilm, and all these articles to find out how these products were made, what these chemicals were, and why they were in these products. And that led us to decide that we didn't want to use these products on our bodies and dump them down the drains into the water, which we all have to drink.
We literally couldn't find products that met the standards we set for ourselves.
Let's also just mention what year this was.
What was that?
1990-something.
This was a long time ago. It was from 1989 until 1991. And then we began trying to find products for us to use. And during the course of that period, in 1992 is when we started our business as a catalog. We used to sell your books in our catalog because we were trying to help other people who were like us seeking answers. Yeah. And we wanted to be able to offer them body care products and household products, but we had a limited amount of things to offer people, which was, we thought, bizarre, because we were living in a major city and we're thinking, my goodness, if we can't find products here in the Washington, D.C. metro area, what are other people doing?
Well, yeah, you know, when I first started my work, and I wrote my first book in 1982,
yay.
and at that point, I was just learning about where these toxic chemicals were, but I had a good idea of what it was that I was looking for in a natural product. And all the information that I could find on all the products in all categories that did not have toxic chemicals in them, as far as I could identify, it all fit in a shoebox, in 3x5 cards in a shoebox. That was it. That was all I could find. Like clothing, for example, if you wanted to wear cotton in 1982, it was a t-shirt and jeans. That was it. And so I want to applaud the two of you for being among the first to even be looking at this issue in the body care area.
Well, we also, Jim is a registered architect, and I'm a designer, and so we also took a lot of courses in non-toxic building design. I mean, we really went to a lot of great depth, like just like you did, to try to get our environment clean. But the body care stuff, the more we learned about how, you know, your main sources of toxic exposure are skin absorption, number one, inhalation, number two, food by your mouth. Is number three, your third.
It is number three. Yeah, because when you inhale something or you put it on your skin, it goes straight into the bloodstream. Straight. Yes. If you put it in your mouth, it goes down through your digestion and mixes with the protein and the food and the fats and everything. And it's a much slower process to get into your body. So really, if you're thinking about toxic chemicals, you need to be most concerned about what you're breathing and putting on your skin.
And with personal care, you get a double whammy, because if you're buying a personal care product, and for example, if it's a shampoo, a foamy, bubbly substance that's a detergent-based product laced with preservatives, and usually, even in health food stores, chemical fragrances, you're absorbing all of these chemicals when you're putting it on your head. But the worst part is, all day long, you're now surrounding yourself with these volatile compounds that are off-gassing from your hair all day long.
So,
it's really a can of worms, and that, all of those reasons and that history is why we felt compelled to start making our own products and sharing them with other people. And like you, I think we wanted to share this information because the more people that know, the fewer chemicals we have to deal with.
Yes.
It might be a little selfish, but...
Well, it is. I don't think it's selfish, but it's like I got to this point where, you know, we can think about ourselves as individuals. I think this is an important point. We can think about ourselves as individuals, but then we go out into an environment where everyone else is still doing the toxic thing. And so it's not about us staying in our non-toxic homes. It's about the whole world being toxic-free, because when everybody lives toxic-free, then everybody lives. Everybody can have a happy life. All the different species can live. Because, you know, a tree doesn't have a choice. A butterfly doesn't have a choice to not choose toxic products. And yet we're putting all that toxic, all these toxic things end up being toxic waste. The things that we use end up out in the environment as toxic waste. And all the other species have no protection against this. And so we're just killing species right and left. And pretty soon we're not going to have all these, what we call natural resources, in order to make products that we need for our own life, if we keep killing them.
Absolutely. It's so stirring, but we're disrupting the balance of the planet. We depend on the tiniest insect, the butterflies.
Right.
We need all of these animals. We need the creatures that are living in our tainted waters to maintain the balance of this planet. And that worries us so much every day. And that's another reason why we're so passionate about I think we've come to accept after 22 years that we may not see a major change in our lifetimes. But, Deborah, I have to tell you, I think since you wrote your book and since we started our company 10 years later, I have seen some changes. And
I have too.
And that gives me hope, makes me feel better. But I think we still have a lot of work to do.
We do. We've come a long way, and we still have a long ways to go. So we need to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to start talking more about organic. You've been telling us a lot of great things, and there's more to hear. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials, and that's terraessentials.com. TERRE, like TERR and then the word essentials.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. We're talking about organic. Okay, so where would you like to start? Should we start with politics or the regulation of marketplace distribution?
Oh, boy. Oh, politics, huh? Well, I think...
Everything starts with politics.
Yeah, it doesn't.
All right, then let's start with politics. Go ahead.
Well, I think the biggest surprise to us when we, in the early years of our business, was finding out that, number one, there was no definition, no legal definition anywhere in the United States for the word natural.
And there still isn't.
No,
that's right.
No, there still isn't. And in fact, it's just, oh my gosh, it's what we're going to call just the misrepresentation of that word in the marketplace and many different product categories is just frightening. It's just become
I'd
so
like
widespread.
Could I just say something first about the word natural as pertains to body care products? And that is that if you go into, like, this was particularly true when I first started and Diana and James first started, that there was a field called natural beauty care, whatever it's called. And if you look at the ingredients, the ingredients originally start as something that is not a man-made petroleum product. Like, it originally starts as something like a coconut. But most of the ingredients in these so-called natural products are industrial chemicals.
I have to say something about that.
Yeah.
And that is, when you think about it, everything that exists, the cell phone on my desk, the car parked outside, everything that exists, all the parts came from something in nature. The silicon came from sand, and, you know, the metals were mined, and everything comes from the earth. But if it's changed into something else, it's not natural when you're done.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. And so I think that we think about, I think the natural industry, and we even do call it the natural industry, the natural industry tries to delineate that their source ingredients are renewable resources like plants and animals and minerals, and that they're not the bad petroleum man-made chemicals. But petroleum is from nature as well. I mean, you can go to, if you've ever been to, I remember going to the La Brea tar pits in Los Angeles, and you can see the tar oozing out of the ground, you know, and that's just part of the same petroleum that we make plastics out of. It's just a different form. But all these man-made petrochemical petroleum things, they're all from nature, but that source material is modified by man, by industry. Now, it doesn't matter if you start with petroleum or you start with a coconut, it all goes into the industrial system and it comes out with something altered. And if you look up how a coconut becomes sodium lauryl sulfate, there's lots of man-made chemicals involved in that and lots of man-made processing. And so sodium lauryl sulfate, I'm sorry, is not the same as a coconut.
No,
it's, sure
it's not.
No.
And so that's what a lot of natural products are.
Yes.
We addressed that with an article that we called Bursting the Bubble. And it's the article was written to try to decipher the technical scientific information about how to process these various chemicals, oleochemicals, surfactants, and emollients, et cetera. And so, you know, when people think about these natural and safe surfactants that are in the shampoos that they're using on their infants, they're not understanding that, as you pointed out, it may have been coconut oil, but then it's put into a reactor, which is very similar to a nuclear reactor in terms of the pounds per square inch, the intensity of the pressure, and also in terms of the core heat. And these giant vessels, these industrial vessels, will incorporate a liquid heavy metal that's used as a catalyst, and
in many cases,
and many of these heavy metal constituents they're using are in nanoparticle form. The smaller the particle, the greater the reaction. And then at when once the temperature and pressure reaches a certain point, there's often a petrochemical agent or two added. Ethylene oxide is one to the process to crack and split these molecules into new things that never before existed in nature. And voila, they're sold as safe baby products.
And it says on the label, it'll say the name of the chemical, and in parentheses afterwards, it says coconut.
Yes.
And so you look at that and you say, oh, well, this is coconut. It's natural, but it's not. It's not.
Not at all. And this is an experiment. This is a giant experiment. And people are subjecting themselves as guinea pigs to this experiment.
Not wittingly.
No, but they're trusting this word natural. And that is the huge problem. And that is something that we feel in the world of politics really needs to be addressed. And what we've seen is the government has been reluctant to do anything and in terms of defining this word. Although, curiously, there is a definition for non-synthetic in the National Organic Program regulations in the section of definitions. How about that?
Wow.
And non-synthetic equals natural. So technically we have one, but nobody pays attention to it. And I think that they're sorry they ever put it in there because we, over the last 15 years, we keep pointing this out to people. But I think there have been some class action lawsuits in the food world and the personal care world where the lawyers are basically seeing opportunities to try to set the record straight. However, and it has worked to some extent.
It's making a part of a difference so far.
But it's a shame that we have to take it to, depend on lawyers and a legal system, class action, rather than having enforcement of the law by the agents of the government that have this enforcement power within their reach. It's at their hand, and they're able to do that. But that's the world that we live in right now. So,
either you're getting into the politics.
And that right. So,
all right. So, now we have to go to break again.
Okay.
So, once again, when we come back, we'll talk about politics.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. At 12:57, we'll talk about politics. Okay. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn, who have so much to say about organics. And we'll hear more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. So now we're going to talk about politics and organic. Yes?
Oh, it's so weird that we have to mix politics in with fine organic skincare.
I know. I mean, we should be able to just, make things out of the renewable resources at hand and use them to make our bodies clean and healthy.
I know. And that's what we really had intended, just to be able to blend these beautiful organic and edible butters and essential oils and the herbal extracts with beautiful things like clay from the earth and salt and just, have things that would nurture us.
When we started, we hoped to spend all of our time doing that.
Oh, but we quickly learned that we had to actually get heavily involved in the politics. And the problems that we're having is that there are so many giant corporations. And let's not just limit this to the U.S. because this is not just a U.S. problem. This is an
worldwide,
international problem. We have giant corporations that are making body care products around the world. And they love the word natural. They have loved it for decades
because
now.
Consumers do.
Yeah.
And they do not want to give that up. And then something strange happened 20 years ago. They found out about the Organic Foods Production Act and saw a huge opportunity to use the word organic with abandon, I might add.
Without meeting
any organic standards. And so that's what the companies did on a global basis. They jumped onto this organic bandwagon. Natural wasn't good enough. Then it became organic. And they, you know, they don't want to give up that word. They've been giving it up slowly with reluctance, some companies. But other companies see it as, you know, an incredibly profitable buzzword that they can put on their website, on their product.
On their salon or spa.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen it driving by on, you know, on a, yeah, on a sign outside a salon.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I think this is the question that's running through all the listeners' minds right now. And it relates to politics. Isn't there a law about using these words?
What do you think? There is a federal law called the National Organic Program, which was signed into law in October of 2012. And that was a result of the Organic Foods Production Act of 1990. The USDA, with consumer input, put together these regulations. They were published in the on the Federal Register for public comment. There were more than 200,000 public comments generated, public comments generated regarding input into the organic program regulations than any other law in the history of lawmaking. And mm-hmm. yet, despite that, we have virtually no enforcement personal care world over the word organic.
What started in the beginning when the National Organic Foods Act came out, we thought that was really pretty terrific. And then the USDA said, oh, by the way, you cannot apply this to body care products. And we said, what?
Because we had spent 10 years formulating our products to the Organic Foods Production Act, and we were ready to rock as soon as the rules went into law. It became a final law. And this was very disturbing to us and a couple of other companies.
Not very many.
No, not very many, but a few that we had been working with and the Organic Consumers Association, and they filed a complaint, and then the USDA said, okay, well, we changed our mind, and we'll let you all, if you want to seek certification, we'll let you do it. You can get certified to this organic program. And so that little waffling cost us a little bit of time, because for basically a year there, they said we couldn't get certified to the new law. And then they changed their minds after a complaint was filed, and we were able to get certification. And so the industry, though, the other giant, we're a very tiny company, but many giant corporations were unhappy with this turn of events, because, yeah, and they, again, they didn't want to give up their use of the words natural and organic, because they had been using those words to promote their products. So industries, and this, again, internationally, started to split off, and a lot of manufacturers working with their suppliers and their distributor, their retail store partners, began to create their own so-called, quote-unquote, organic and natural standards independently of the USDA National Organic Program regulation to justify their use of the words natural and organic.
There's something that's really important I need to jump in here with, and that is, even though the USDA said, okay, you can get your body care products certified to our standard, we changed our mind, even though they said that, they said, we will continue to enforce the organic standards for foods and agricultural products. But in our opinion, these are not literally their words, but they said, in our opinion, the body care products don't count as agricultural products. Therefore, we're not going to enforce that field at all.
That's so funny. I mean, it's not a laughing matter that they're not doing it. But what's funny about it is that it just kind of goes to the mindset, I think,
yes,
and the understanding of how people think about things. Because obviously food is an agricultural product. Obviously body care is not, because it's made from all these industrial chemicals.
Exactly. In other words, what it came down to is... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me just finish. Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to hear everything you have to say. if people thought of body care the way you and I think of body care as being made from agricultural products, of course it should be certified organic, and of course. But I can see where the common way of thinking about body care products is that it's an industrial product.
Right. But that's what we have to change, because that's what's been causing us problems. Just like the bizarre thing is that the majority of farmers today think that the applications of pesticides and herbicides, that's the traditional farming method.
No.
and the organic method, where you don't use chemical inputs, well, that's the strange alternative thing. But this is a crazy world that we live in.
Using pesticides to grow food is a strange alternative thing.
If you
look at the whole history of growing food.
And it's totally bizarre. And there were people who said, oh, you can never make organic body care products. This is what we were told repeatedly. And we said, really? Because we're doing it. And in fact, there was an archaeological dig outside of London. This was now 10 years back, where they actually found a tin. They were excavating a road on the way to a temple. And they found a tin of cream that was nearly 2,000 years old. And they analyzed this cream. All these scientists were fighting over it. And they finally got to analyze it. It's very interesting. What they found out, strangely, amazingly, was that this cream, 2,000 years old, was still viable.
And when Diana says cream, she means skin cream.
It was a skin cream. In fact, the cool thing was the woman, and we presume it was a woman, her fingerprints were dipped into the cream, and you could still see them after 2,000 years.
I love this, and I have something to say about it when we come back from the break. And we have to hurry up and go to break.
Okay.
And this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. And jump right in now and say, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're going to continue with our discussion about organics. Here's what I wanted to say before the break. Now, I'm going to tell you something personal about me that I've never said on the radio before. First, I have to say, before I can tell you this, I have to tell you that I'm half Armenian. My mother was 100% Armenian. And so I grew up in a family where my grandparents, I had this whole half of my family was Armenian, with that whole kind of ancient Middle Eastern kind of viewpoint. And so so I grew up culturally with belly dancing in my family. And I know that a lot of people think belly dancing is strange, exotic, sexy, et cetera. But you know what? Belly dancing, I read a book not too long ago about belly dancing, the history of belly dancing. And what I found out from belly dancing was that it was not designed to seduce men. What belly dancing was designed for was as a health exercise for women.
Really?
It's all those movements are to get women's bodies it's like doing Tai Chi or something like that. Where it's a series of movements that enhances the flows in your body to be healthy.
Wow.
And as I was reading this book about that contained that information, it also said that women in these cultures, ancient cultures, they made their own cosmetics. And the reason they made their own cosmetics was because that was one of the few areas of life where they had control over their own life, was to make their own cosmetics. And it just, I'm almost in tears now even just saying that, because these are the things that culturally and historically belong to us to make for ourselves. And as is food for us to cook for ourselves. And they've been so taken over by the industrial system. And they've taken away our creativity and our self-determinism and our connection with nature and all of these things. And even though you're making products and selling them in a consumer way, it's so much closer to what people used to do, to have that they were making their own cosmetic products, their own body care products, all these things that they used to nourish and take care of their bodies. Women made them themselves. And yes, that was what happened for millennia.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. In fact, women, they were the guardians. They took care of the sick. They nurtured the children. They took care of the communities. They were in touch with the plants.
With the plants. They knew what plants did what.
Yes.
And that was just like, that is our heritage as women, is to have that information and to make these things and to have a nourishing home. And instead of doing those things, what we do is we go to doctors and we buy products. And well, when I realized that, when I learned that by studying history, I started doing all those things myself because I wanted to have that birthright of doing it, you know? And so, I think that the highest good that we can do as individuals is to reconnect in that way. And that you're doing that in a way of showing people how wonderful these products are.
We're trying.
Yeah, yeah. So when you do something yourself, when you go out and when you plant herbs in your own backyard and you make something yourself, or, you know, even if you buy the ingredients and make it yourself, there's less of government regulation and government interference because it's more directly you and nature. And that's the way life is designed to be. There, I'll stop being philosophical.
No, it's absolutely true. And the reason, again, that we started to make these products is that people today, people's lives are intense. They're so busy. They're so pressured. There's so much stress. And we wanted to have products that were just like all the products that we were talking about, things that have been made, you know, for thousands of years. When they analyzed that cream that they found on the road to the Roman temple outside of London, when they finally were able to analyze it just 3 years ago or 4 years ago, they found out that cream was remarkably, the formulation was remarkably sophisticated, and it was virtually identical to what we're making today with our cream.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're saying to people that it can be done.
Big companies
say it can't be done because, you know what, it's really expensive to preserve a product with organic herbal extracts and essential oils. It's really expensive. If you look at a little bottle of an herbal extract in the store, a 1 ounce or a 2 ounce bottle, and look at that cost per 1 ounce bottle, and then if you compare it to phenoxyethanol, sodium hydroxymethylglycinate, the parabens, all these other synthetic industrial chemical preservatives,
they're cheap.
They're dirt cheap.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about, you know, pennies per pound, and they're so toxic. They're
the same thing goes for the other things, the emollients.
The synthetic fatty acids, the bubbly foamy surfactants, they're way more inexpensive to produce than, you know, real castile or, you know, buying virgin extra virgin olive oil or virgin coconut oil, all certified organic. But these things are precious. They work. And frankly, we are also so disturbed talking about politics by the psychological manipulation through photoshopping and imagery that are just where corporations are preying on a woman's psyche to manipulate her into feeling that she won't be loved, she won't feel important,
and she won't be beautiful.
Value.
She won't be beautiful,
right? Unless she alters her body. Colors her hair, uses makeup, uses all these toxic body care products.
That's a whole show of its own.
Oh, my
right
God.
There.
That is a whole show of its own, and we should probably do that one day. But we only have a few minutes left of this show, so I want to make sure that we just, for a couple minutes, let's just talk about the regulation of marketplace distribution, because that was in the title of the show.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well,
you know,
absolutely.
I think for the next one, I think we'll just say, Diana and Jim are going to talk.
No. You, Deborah, your questions
about whatever
are
you
great.
Want.
You really understand this makes you such a great hostess for this show, because you have studied this for 30-some years. You get it, like us, and so few people get it. And that's
what's
so important about your question. You're really good at this. You're good at translating the information so that people will understand, you know, what we're talking about and getting the importance and how it relates directly to their personal health. And whether or not they're going to live a long, healthy life or have a short one that where they're battling illness constantly. And that, I think, is where we're on the same page and why we love your questions. And, you know, in terms of the marketplace situation, you know, we're hopeful. First of all, there is still the organic certification program. And personal care product companies can choose to seek this. And honestly, I have reviewed personally every single body care standard that's out there. Oh, my gosh, how boring.
Worldwide.
Reading all these industry standards, there really aren't very many government standards. The USA has the most potent one that's restricted in terms of its restrictiveness and what you can and cannot use to make or organic products and or to grow organic raw materials. So really, based on all of our research, the USDA organic certification is still the number one organic certification. You know, we are sad because there are rules where you can use clays. This is just one example of something that's not ideal. You can use clays to filter foods. You can use clays as ingredients in food products and in livestock feed. But they're not, they don't grow. They're not organic. They're allowed, but they're not organic. So, like, for example, we have a product, our hair wash, which is a bulk of it is clay, a natural clay that comes from the earth. It's wonderful and amazing.
This is the dictionary definition of natural.
Right.
Not the marketer's definition.
The only human alteration there is grinding it up into a powder that can be utilized to cleanse the body. You mentioned zeolites in a promotional piece. Again, zeolites are allowed in animal feed, and they're so healing and wonderful.
Yes.
But they count against you. Clays and zeolites, even salt is considered neutral, which we think all minerals, all clays should have been considered neutral. But the only thing that's considered neutral under the reg is salt.
I think they weren't thinking far enough.
No,
ahead.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there you can have a product that still can be totally natural, but it may not be certifiable to the organic or made with organic
And I think that is a problem because if somebody's looking for something that is, I'll say, of nature in the sense of it being a renewable, non-industrial ingredient, that in it, close to its natural state as it as appears in the world, then something like clay or salt or zeolite or all of those things meet that standard.
Oh my God, yes.
And I think that my opinion is that your hair wash, for example, that has so much clay in it, that's about as natural of a natural product as exists in the world. But I understand you can't get certified for it because it's got ingredients in it that are not agricultural products.
Isn't that crazy? And yet there are all these companies selling chemical, bubbly detergent shampoos laced with chemical preservatives, boldly calling these products organic, still being sold on the shelves of health stores.
I'm not even watching the clock. We have to go.
We have to go, Diana.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad. Be well.
You're a lifesaver, kid.
Thanks.